Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 24. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the text. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Throughout this Easter season, we hear this recurring theme as Jesus interacts with his followers. No matter what they see, they do not believe or come to understand until God's word reveals the truth to them. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene saw that the stone had been rolled away. She saw that the tomb was empty. She saw angels and spoke to them. She saw Jesus and spoke to him and thinks that he's the gardener until he calls her by name and says, "Mary." And then there's this immediate, complete change. Last week, we heard about Jesus appearing to the apostles in the upper room. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb. We learned from our gospel reading today, in Luke 24, that Jesus had already appeared to Simon. They are filled with, not faith, but fear of the Jews. Until Jesus comes into their midst and proclaims peace. He says, "Peace be with you." And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then there's this clear and immediate change that takes place. Well, this is not Pentecost yet, but the Holy Spirit is there doing his faith-creating work. Jesus says, "Peace be with you," and there is real peace. However, Thomas is missing. Now Thomas, he's seen Lazarus rise from the dead. He has seen miracle upon miracle performed by Jesus. But Thomas has no faith because Thomas has not heard the saving word of God. Jesus has been speaking the saving word of God, but Thomas has not heard it. Thomas has no peace until Jesus comes once again and says, "Peace be with you." And then there's this clear and immediate change, and Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." This brings us to Emmaus. It's Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection of our Lord, and two of Jesus' followers, not apostles, but disciples of Jesus, are walking along the road discussing the events of the day. And Jesus joins them on their journey. And like Mary at the tomb, their eyes did not recognize him. And Jesus asks them what they're talking about. And Cleopas is shocked and says, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem that doesn't know what has happened?" This is one of the most convincing yet overlooked arguments for those looking for evidence for the resurrection. The tomb was empty. His body was somewhere else, and everybody was talking about this. The tomb was empty. Either all of the guards fell asleep, and the disciples boldly conducted a military-style exercise in the dark of night and stole Jesus' body out of the tomb without waking up any of the guards, you know, these disciples who are cowering for fear in the upper room. Either that's what they did, or Jesus rose from the dead. Those are the only two legitimate options. Those are the only two accounts of the events that are being told in those days. The tomb was empty. His body was gone, and everybody was talking about it. And everybody keeps talking about it. The claim of Jesus rising from the dead is the topic of conversation throughout the Mediterranean world in the first century. The Roman Emperor Claudius issues a decree in 41 AD making it punishable by death if anyone takes a body out of the tomb. It's called the Nazareth Decree. It's one of my favorite arguments against those who want to blindly deny that the Bible is history. The tomb was empty. The body was gone. There are numerous eyewitnesses who testify to this, who write about it, who suffer persecution and even death, maintaining this story. And they die for the sake of maintaining this story. Now, this doesn't prove that the story is true, but it does prove that the story was being told by the people of that day. And then, I mean, if you want more evidence, I mean, in addition to the biblical accounts, I mean, there are tens of thousands of citations of the New Testament in other literature from the early church time. I mean, there is no other story, there is no other history, writer, or anything that has anything like this. There's only a few copies of, like, you know, Julius Caesar or Homer that were from that period. I mean, we have tens of thousands of biblical references. The evidence, if you want to look at history as a science, is overwhelming. The Jewish rabbis wrote about Jesus of Nazareth in the Talmud, the writings of the rabbis in the first century. The Jewish historian Flavius Josephus wrote about Jesus of Nazareth in the first century. There are documents from Roman officials. There is this mountain of evidence, all pointing to the fact that there was a man named Jesus of Nazareth. And this man suffered and died on a cross. He was buried in a tomb, and now the tomb is empty. The body is not there. Those are facts. How the tomb became empty, what happened to the body, that is a matter of faith. Mary Magdalene only believed when Jesus called her by name. The empty tomb itself does not create faith. The apostles only believe when Jesus comes and proclaims peace to them. Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Before this, the empty tomb had only created fear. So they locked themselves in the upper room. The disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, they were amazed at the story of the empty tomb and at the vision of angels told by the women. But this did not create faith or understanding of what all this meant. Then Jesus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, opens the scriptures to them. They later recount how their hearts burned within them while they walked and talked along the road. The word of God brings real and complete change. But it wasn't until Jesus took the bread gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. Jesus' body is able to do things that our bodies cannot do because he is God. He can rise from the dead and walk out of his tomb. He can vanish from the presence of the disciples there at Emmaus. He can appear in the midst of the disciples in the upper room, even though the doors are locked. And he was not just a vision. He was flesh and blood. He ate fish with them. You could put your finger into the mark of the nails in his hand or the hole in his side. His body can come to you as real flesh and blood under the form of bread and wine. And do not your hearts burn within you as he makes himself known to you in the breaking of the bread. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.